opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
As a pastor, I have noticed all sorts of trends that have come and gone to try to help Christians find deep meaning to their faith. So we've had the prayer of Jabez, we've had 40 days of purpose, we've had endless books that have come and gone. And you would think that if they still had the power that they always had from the beginning, they would still be bought in the same kind of mass and used in all the Bible studies today. These things all come and go. They're faddy, they're trendy. We're always looking for something to find spirituality. We're always looking for something to find the fill the void that is in our hearts. And Christians, yes, I said Christians, really struggle with this. Part of the reason is that we have not yet listened carefully to where the Lord said to find his fountain of living water. We've not yet come to that fountain to receive from him. And I speak to myself often in this because my own heart can grow dull and hard to receive from him the implanted word, which is able to give life to our hearts. This is so important. We're going to look at today on Abounding Grace Radio, where Jesus here, when the multitudes were hungry, was not primarily about feeding their bellies. He was about teaching them. This is why he was setting apart a ministry. This is why he was giving a great commission. And we're going to look today at how Mark chapter 6 shows us in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus' great intention to feed people spiritually with his own body and blood, his life, so that you would enjoy that life by the Spirit. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Find us on Facebook. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We'd love to hear from you. Do please write to us. All of your notes are a great encouragement to us. Here's now the message from Mark chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is part two of the message that we started yesterday. You can find that right on the web at aagradio.org. Again, Jesus feeding the 5,000, which I've called the Good Shepherd. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
And you can only feed the flock well when you are this is so important for this morning's message. If you are taking notes, then I want you to capture this one. The only way you feed the flock well is when you are confident of where you find that food. Get that? A worker can only feed the flock of this king when they know where to get the food. Don't you see Jesus' concern? Well, this must have been forever impressed upon their minds, for if you follow this, they didn't get to rest. He said, well, wait a minute. You just made a case for rest. You made a case for stopping, which was Jesus' intention and has every application to us, there's no doubt. But they didn't get to rest. It's remarkable. Follow me for a minute. You'll notice here in verse 33 that many saw them coming and going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. So they're heading off in the boat to go off to this desolate place to take some rest, and everyone's bolted and gone right in front of them so that when they arrive on the shore, there are multitudes of people. No rest for the weary, right? You'll see it in verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. As Jesus is arriving on the shore, they look up, and there are, in their eyes, multitudes of people mulling around, just mulling around, wandering around, waiting for a shepherd. It's a powerful image if you think about it. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And the text says, Mark captures this, the Gospels capture this in a very unique way, that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Imagery is powerful. Jesus looks up and he sees them, and we read that he welled up with compassion. However I'm to capture that today, it's a word the Holy Spirit wanted specially chosen for him. We find it only in the Gospels. It was reserved for him, and as it happened, it was meant to be a deliberate contrast to that awful, wicked tyrant who welled up with anger and vitriol and hate toward the servants of the Lord and the people of the Lord. The murderous impulses of that king now are set in contrast to the compassionate king of Israel. What a choice by the Spirit. It's a real shock, because people always attribute to God, when the midst anything goes wrong, or looking at the state of the world, the first thing they say is that God is some kind of evil tyrant who reigns over us, and they would rather have a Herod lead them. This is what's going on in the political process today. Look at the quality of leaders who we all now are excited about. Adulterous, murderous. Do I keep going? While the king installed on his throne, the true king is labeled by everyone in this world as a tyrant. Well, maybe this scene will be forever embossed on your hearts when you read that he had compassion. It means that in his inward heart, his lungs, his stomach, the deepest sense of emotion overcame him when he gazed on them. Not wrath. Now, he is just. I'm not exalting one attribute over the others. But as for the moment, I want you to think about this. He's not setting aside things. He is compassionate. He looked on them, and as he had come to this earth, his greatest desire was to solve their problem. These people were like sheep without a shepherd. Don't miss the contrast again. Herod and his noblemen and all the elite, all the top dogs of Israel, and I call them dogs, that's exactly what they were in a wild, revelrous party at the moment. And Jesus is out in the fields of Israel, in the scattered fields of Israel, in the lowly places, gathering sheep. Well, that sounds familiar. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts. Since there was no shepherd, I'm quoting Ezekiel, you know this. And because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, and because my shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among the sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel. I'll feed them, listen, with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel, there shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on the rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And you think Jesus isn't God? He just said it. Here he is. Here's the connection. The disciples in verse 31 were coming and going. Jesus looks on the multitudes and what they're doing. What are they doing? They're coming and going. They're running around. You'll notice that statement. They're mulling around. They're scattered. They're running. They've been on foot running. Same thing. The tie here is that both have no rest. they're weary. They've been going to find him, and they had no time to eat. These multitudes of the people, the disciples, had been running around for him. They had no time to eat. They are hungry at this moment. The disciples are hungry. The people are hungry. But here we are. Jesus at this moment is moved with compassion. So how do you, as the shepherd of the sheep, who have no shepherd, what did his compassion lead him to do? Well, you're all going to say, well, he fed the 5,000. Yep, he fed the 5,000. How did he feed the 5,000? Did you catch verse 34? So, he began to teach them many things. Wait a minute. He didn't stuff their bellies first. You just had presented to you in verse 34 Jesus' answer for wandering sheep. He taught them many things. Now, if we're beginning to put this together, the disciples needed refreshment. They needed to eat. And the same situation is here presented with the multitudes. The people were running everywhere. They needed to eat. The disciples had not yet been able to eat or rest. The people had not yet been able to eat or rest. And we read in verse 35 that Jesus spends the whole day teaching. I better never get that my sermons are long again. Do you guys understand that? Okay? That's over, right? You have weary people, you have weary disciples, and he teaches them all day. Here's where it comes together. I hope the common experience of our physical needs here, you see, is used to illustrate something of spiritual need. Notice how physical food has not been the solution yet. Jesus has withheld that from both his disciples and the people. It's not hard to figure out what he's saying to us. Namely, that it is in the preaching and the teaching of Jesus that you find the renewal and the refreshment that you need. That's it. It is in the teaching and the preaching of Christ that you find the renewal and the refreshment and the shepherding that you need. I thought, well, I wonder what Jesus taught them that day. I can pretty much guarantee you it sounded nothing like a sermon we get today in modern America. Nothing. I can't even imagine it, sitting there and listening to the mouth of our Lord teach. What do you think he chose to do? Well, if Luke 24 is any indication of his desire, he taught them all things in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning himself. Can you imagine hearing that even at creation, Jesus is standing there saying, it's all made through me? At the resurrection, he's expounding to them in the scriptures all the things concerning himself. This wasn't the first time. He preached himself as the substance of their life. Now, what that means is that in the preaching of him, there is real grace and there's real strength for your life. Do you have that kind of confidence in what we're doing? See, he gives them a test now. He gives them a test. They come to him, and the disciples ironically come with the same concern that Jesus had for them. They're weary. They don't have anything to eat. See it? That was Jesus' concern for the disciples. You don't have anything to eat. Come aside and rest for a while. He hadn't fed them yet. The hour's late, Jesus. Listen, you've been teaching. You've been teaching a long time now. And I think it's time we send them away. Glaring statement. Send them away that they may go get something to eat. And he comes back in verse 37. Ready? You give them something to eat. Yes, you do it. Huh? Imagine the conundrum. They just raise, where are we going to get the money to do this, to feed all this? You feed them. What do you mean feed them? We don't have anything to feed them with. You feed them. And even when they find something, it's just a few loaves and fish. You feed them. We can't. You feed them. Do you get it yet? Do you get the convergence here of what he's doing as he brings it together? In other words, you have more food than you ever know to give these sheep. Where? He makes them, in front of the disciples, all do what? Sit down in green pastures. And all the people were put in ranks. And he takes the loaves and he breaks them. Supper starts really meaning a lot, doesn't it? when you see the bread broken, I stand there, boys and girls, and I go like this, and that's all. That's all I break. Can you imagine the ranks of 5,000 people? He starts breaking the bread, and there's baskets everywhere, and he just starts filling, and he doesn't stop. And by the time they're getting to the fifth row, they're realizing, where is all this bread coming from? And they just keep going back and back and back and back. And Jesus said, I want you disciples to carry it to them. Although they didn't understand this immediately, what he had just done was give them a visual of how he would be given to the multitudes in their ministry, of how they would feed the sheep. The food is not the food in their hands. The unlimited food he is speaking of that people will never lack is him. You feed them. With what? Me. Jesus was so concerned for their rest, but how did he solve that problem for them and for the people? Welling up in compassion, and when he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, what did he do? He taught them. He preached to them. Herod had just served up a meal. Remember what he served? John the Baptist's head on a platter. And that's meant to be the contrast. Christ serves up a meal. His broken body. See it? Which is what John the Baptist's life was signifying and telling about, talking about. His death and his resurrection. He is serving up his crucified body. Welling up with compassion. He does the single greatest thing he could do for the people. He fed them in his preaching and teaching with him. Well into the evening. And that, you see, was the greatest need for the people, and it was the greatest need for the disciples to understand and to receive themselves. So in the word, he had given the rest that he was so concerned about. So that when the disciples came to him and were worried about food for the people, Jesus could have asked the question, what do you think I've been doing? Oh, that's so important for the church today, isn't it? What do you think I've been doing? Do you think I've been neglectful in feeding? You've just been filled to the full, haven't you? What do you mean filled to the full? You just received the word for hours. You know, one of the greatest encouragements to your pastor is when you say, after a sermon, I feel absolutely full. You know that experience. Many of you said it to me. You ever been to a place where you walk out of church and the pastor preached no sermon, no text, the word was absent? You tell me how you feel. Ripped off. Spiritually starved. For these last hours, all these last hours, they had just been filled to the full. Now we begin to understand what he meant when he said in John 6, I am the bread of God. I am he who comes down from heaven to give life to the world. I am that manna. I am what the children of Israel got in the wilderness. I am, when this is an allusion to Numbers, no doubt, the same thing, same event, when the food was supposed to come. I am whoever eats this bread will never go hungry. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The rest and the refreshment came that day when they received his teaching. And then he solidified it, and then he confirmed it by filling their bellies. Think of what was impressed on their minds, beloved, that day when he all then, in front of the disciples, in front of everyone, made them lie down where? In green pastures. See it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, that shadow of death was right there with Herod, wasn't it? I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd like to get an amen right now, but you'll think the sermon's ending. I'm almost done. Amen? The disciples wouldn't grasp this until after the resurrection. In Jesus' own death, that Jesus would come and say to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Stay there. You're going to get pulled everywhere with busyness. Stay there. That's what they need. What I'm sending you to do, dear apostles, is to feed my sheep with me. What I'm sending you to do, dear pastors, is to feed my sheep with me. That's what you're going to go do in the Great Commission. You're going to show my compassion in this world that's twisted and messed up and full of evil murderers and adulterers and incestuous men who are kings in Israel. But you're recovering my sheep through my ministry of compassion. I'm the compassionate king. And now you see that Jesus was training them and gave them rest, so that they are to give it to his sheep. But they too must enjoy that rest. Yes, there's a need for physical rest, but they too must feed on the head. They too must come to the source. They too must be upheld from him to give him to them. It was the preaching of Christ and him crucified that refreshed. For without him, they could not uphold anyone else. Now remember why you're doing this. You'll be running around here and there, and I say this as a basic application to Christian life. You need to feed on the head. Especially if you're going to be servants of the King. Just as Jesus has done for you, then he would tell them, go do this for others. But you will show compassion to my sheep as you give your lives from the source. to feed them with me in your preaching. And that's so important for today. I asked you, in light of all your needs today, what is your greatest need? What is your greatest need in coming up to the house of the Lord today? Do you know it is to be fed with God's word? Do you really believe that? Well, I would think this place would be busting at the seams every time we have it preached. Jesus told you it's the way he keeps you, the way he refreshes you, the way he desires to show compassion to you. He even created a Sabbath day so that you would have rest and refreshment, even at the beginning of creation, to give you a platform for this. And it's still going. It's still here. That's why you need this. There's a reason so many Christians in the church today are starving. If we are doing here, if what we are doing here and devoting ourselves to the ministry of the word, if that ever lost priority here or in any given church, there you will find spiritually malnourished, starving sheep worried about and fighting for all the wrong things. This king is so wonderful, so full of compassion. Unlike the awful scene we studied last week, this king wells up in compassion for you. Therefore, he continues to send you, teachers and preachers. Never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. I hope these words become really meaningful to you in your Christianity. Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Come, eat bread without price. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear. Hear. That your souls may live. Heavenly Father, such a wonderful text of encouragement after a text of discouragement, showing us how wonderful our King is. And this uplifts our hearts today, for we are full. May we, Lord, desire as servants to find rest in the true King, to feed on what is good. And this is a bread we don't have to buy with money. It's a bread freely given to all who come so that our souls would be satisfied and that we live. Thank you for explaining the ministry to us today through this. Thank you for explaining our King to us. May we always respond by loving to be in your house to receive from you your compassions and the food that you give for our souls. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.